From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're coming to you live from Shadow Lane, right across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we ignore the fact that the Packers season is essentially over before Thanksgiving and look ahead to Sunday night showdown in Philadelphia. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Quay Walker.
We got the bad. We got
special teams.
We got the ugly. We got
that third down defense. I love it when it's third and three. We play 10 yards off. Woo! Let's go. How you doing, Banky?
All right.
Hey, before we do anything else, can I just want to say, happy Thanksgiving, Brother. You know, it's that time of year where win or lose, I'm just thankful that, you know, we're friends. We do this. The Packers, they've been around for 100 years. They're going to be around for 100 more. Yeah, it's been a real tough stretch here. But in the grand scheme of things, we still got it pretty damn good. And I'm thankful.
Oh, yeah, and I'm excited for you to be in Wisconsin. You know, this is the – I can't wait. You know, once your girls are in college, you're going to be moving here. So this is the start of something special.
See, you say that, and that only feeds into what they
That's
say.
The plan, like, nigga.
Dad, you know you're That's moving plan, back to Wisconsin. Nigga. And I'm always like, no, plan. No, no.
You love Wisconsin. Come on.
I love visiting Wisconsin. Like I am
you
right
love
now.
It. You miss it. You love it. You miss it. You need it.
Really,
you want
I
it.
Really. I don't know about all that. But yes, it is good to be back in the land of cheese. It's great to be back across the street from Lambeau Field. It is fucking gorgeous. It's a beautiful night. And Lambeau is resplendent in its glory right across from us. It's pretty dope, Banky. I got to admit, I don't know how you live like this, because I would just be frozen with, like, in awe at all times. Like, I'd just be walking through the living room and be like, oh, Lambeau. Like, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It happens. It's been known to happen.
I'll bet. I'll bet. You know what else has been known to happen? Even in a loss, even in a game where the Packers shit the bed, they still have moments that make you go, oh, man, that's hot. And that's why every week we try to point out the hotness. Let's go, Nicholas. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. So, you know, a couple weeks ago we had all sorts of things to choose from when it came to the hotness. This week, not so much. I mean, there were a few, probably a few plays, but I don't think you could quibble with this selection this week. This is hot from the rookie, Christian Watson. I get the feeling this young man will be in the hotness quite a bit during his tenure as a Green Bay Packer. This catch in the end zone on a free play, I mean, great throw from 12, and then this skying over a dude. Another angle on it. I mean, this is, come on. And the fact that he gets just enough of a jump over the dude and just a little, not a push-off, but just a little separation there right before he gets skyward. It's just dope. It's just hot. I love it. I love that this kid is finally coming to the fore. And look, you've seen it now, two games in a row. This guy is a weapon. He's a true weapon. And when and if they ever get him and Romeo Doubs on the field together for a longer stretch, it's gonna be exciting. The opposite of exciting is Packers news. We got to get to the news, Banky.
Oh man,
you know your favorite topics. Aaron Rodgers participates in Wednesday's practice. That's a good sign. His thumb is feeling a little better. You know, the extended little break, the mini bye, as they like to call it, after that Thursday nighter. And Rodgers also confirms that he's been playing with a broken thumb.
No, Big B already broke this. Everyone knows this, bro.
But Rodgers has confirmed it. Basically, what Rodgers did, both, well, not so much at McAfee, but at his locker today, he essentially said that Big B is not a liar. That's what he said. You know, like all the consternation, all the shit that Big B took on Twitter, and I saw it. There was a lot of shit. Guess what? You were all wrong. Big B was right. Suck it, haters.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either. Dobbs and Campbell. We just talked about Romeo Dobbs. Getting him back on the field with Christian Watson would be great. Unfortunately, Dobbs and Devondre Campbell both still not practicing. Hate to see that. Starting to think, why didn't you put these guys on IR? But here they are, Dobbs and Campbell still not practicing on this Wednesday before the Philly game on Sunday. Caleb Jones, the mountain man who was the talk of training camp. He has been absent for a while now on the non-football injury list. He was back at practice today, coming back from the NFI. I know you're a big Caleb Jones fan, Corey.
Who's thought about Caleb Jones?
I was going to say, I thought about asking you, do you know who Caleb Jones is?
Is Caleb Jones kind of like Carmen Sandiego? Is Caleb Jones like Carmen Sandiego?
Exactly.
Is Caleb
He's
Jones
exactly
Waldo?
Like Carmen Sandiego.
Is Caleb Jones Waldo?
Precisely. You've nailed it. You've
Got
nailed it.
It.
In,
okay.
In two
now
analogies, you've completely
now
sussed out who Caleb Jones is. Other news, Packers have claimed linebacker Justin Hollins off waivers from the Rams, a guy who started five games for the Rams this year. He's an edge rusher. I know he was dealing with a pectoral issue last year. This year, he is a little busy. He's got one sack. He's, like, think 26 tackles, etc. Not exactly, you know, hair on fire kind of guy, but a little edge depth for a team that desperately needs it. You know, Rashawn Gary obviously lost for the remainder of the year. Need a little help outside. Here we go. I would suspect this guy will probably help on special teams more than anything sooner rather than later. The corresponding move is Patrick Taylor, who literally got signed to the 53-man roster last week.
I don't
he
understand.
He has now been released.
Do we not need a third running back? What's happening?
They do. They'll bring somebody up, most likely, off. My suspicion is they'll sign Patrick Taylor back to the practice squad and then bring either him or Goodson up on game day. That would be my guess.
Got it.
But you can also, I mean, we've used Randall Cobb in the backfield before. We've used other
No, I hear you, but Patrick Taylor
before.
Has promise, though.
I agree. I like him a lot. But again, yes, I would suspect tomorrow we'll get some kind of news about him being signed to the practice squad. Be my guess. And then the team has worked out Geronimo Allison. Set Twitter ablaze yesterday after I landed. And Danny Davis, who was a wide receiver, an undrafted guy out of Wisconsin, who had a really good training camp. I'm telling you, Twitter like kind of freaked out about Geronimo Allison, which I understand, like, he's played with the team before, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, Danny Davis, I don't know. I obviously have no idea how his workout went, but this kid was having a really good camp. And I think he had a chance at making the team.
When? What camp?
This summer.
For real?
He was an undrafted kid out of Wisconsin. Yes. He was having a really good camp, and then he got hurt, and, of course, and then he was released. And I think it's probably taken, you know, the majority of the year to get back into shape or get over the injury, blah, blah, blah. But
I don't remember.
I'm telling you.
I was here all of training camp, Nagler, and the things I remember who does good in training camp, so I don't remember. I bet you didn't even call his name one time.
You know what? I got time.
On Twitter,
tonight.
It doesn't count on Twitter.
I got
we don't
time
have time.
Tonight. I
hey,
got time
on Twitter,
tonight,
it doesn't count. I'm talking about on this show when we talked about training camp.
I bet you didn't 100%. Talk about him. You know why? Because he made a touchdown catch in a preseason game, Corey. Yes, 100 billion% we talked
Literally
about.
Literally no one remember. It was in the fourth quarter, wasn't it?
No, it was not. It was in like the first drive in San Francisco.
No way.
Oh, my God.
Romeo Dobbs is the only one that scored touchdowns in the training camp that I remember.
Long way to go, but Danny Davis is having a good camp. He looks legit. Looking forward to seeing him in preseason games. Well, look at that. That's the very
I don't
first
read
tweet
your Twitter.
That comes up.
I don't read it.
I know this.
Why would I read that? I listen to who's going to be good on news, and so you basically – so let's see. I bet you never brought him up on the script one time, okay? Want to bet? I'll bet you $100. I'll bet you $100.
Why would I do that? Why would
okay, $1,000. $1,000.
Why would I do that? No.
Okay,
$10,000. I'm talking the other way, Banky.
Okay,
$10,000. Not all of us are living across from Lambeau Field, Banky.
Okay, $10,000. All right. $10,000. Right.
Ten grand it is. All right.
Just kidding.
There we go.
Just kidding. I rescinded it.
I know.
We can't handshake right now. But we can't handshake over right. V-Mix.
No, we can't. Let's talk about this offense because I guess we have to. God, I don't want to, but here we are. It's a Packers show. We're two guys who like to think we know something about football. This fucking offense, I'm telling you.
Ugh.
Refusing. Flat out refusing to take what is given. You know, be who you are. Lean into what you do. Like, this idea that there can be something presented to you for a 3-yard gain, 4-yard gain, keep moving this, like, keep matriculating the ball down the field. They flat out refuse to do it. I mean,
why would you want to get a first down? Why would you
when you get a big turnover and the first thing you do is throw the chuck it up for Jesus play to Christian Watson, who I love and I'm all in and like, let's go, baby. But you're down 10 in the second half. Like, just move the fucking ball, man. Like, they just refuse. It's hero ball all the time. More often than not. It's 4th and 3. You need 3 yards. No, we'll chuck it up for Jesus on the left sideline.
That was the tweet, by the way.
The chips,
that was
chips
the tweet.
Fall where
the
they 3-yard
tweet, by the way.
That was that was it. That was it. That was the one.
That was it.
That's good. That's good to know.
That's the one. Yeah.
That's the one that broke us.
And that's
the one where it all fell apart.
And that's when he knew Nagler was cheating on him.
with himself.
With himself.
Himself. I love it. I'm just done. I can't even. Here's the problem.
This offense is broken. This offense is so broken.
I can't even be excited. I can't even get excited when the Packers are on offense. Like, I can't. I'm just waiting for them to fuck it up.
I hear you. I hear you. But
can there be exciting moments? No doubt.
Yes.
There's some great individual moments of brilliance.
I agree with you, but you know what I do get excited about? This offensive line the last 6 weeks is probably one of the only things you can kind of be like scratching on the cliff and still kind of surviving on. So it is exciting to watch this line right now kind of step up their game. And, you know, I know it's a little thing, but...
Yeah, even then, though, there's a tad a little more inconsistent than I'd like, especially in the run game.
Yeah, but they're better than they were 66 games ago.
Oh, that's what, no doubt. No
that's what I'm talking
doubt.
About.
No
just looking
question.
For progress here.
Yeah, right?
A little bit of progress.
A little bit. Just we'll take what we can get at this point. Run solutions. You know how they like to say, oh, you know, sometimes when we're in that shotgun and we got that RPO on and, you know, oh, we're going to hand it off, but we've got a run solution. Now, Corey, could you, because I'm not smart. And you are. What does the word solution mean?
I mean, it seems to me like you're solving a problem.
But because it feels like they're not solving anything with these, quote, run solutions. I thought the idea of a solution was to solve for something. But right now, all they're doing is putting their guy with the ball in front of a dude who wants to tackle him. That's their run solution right now. Like, just hand it off. Like, the guy with whose literal job is to run with the football in his hand against a bunch of dudes and a front and blocking, blah, blah, blah. That's his gig. I like his chances a hell of a lot more than the guy on the perimeter who has a dude right in his face as soon as he gets the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a simple man, Corey. I'm a simple man. I like simple things. You know?
I mean, honestly, I feel like their biggest problem, and I know I'm really not smart about football, and I know people are going to argue with this, but it's just like, has shotgun ever been the solution for this team this year? Has it ever been the solution where we actually won and we did good things? Because if you looked to me, I thought the whole thing was, oh, let's mix it up. We're going to go 50-50 pretty much, right? We're going to go under center 50. We're going to go shotgun 50. We're going to have QB1's offense. We're going to have Matt's offense. Okay, great. But we lose that so easily, and it's just like, who is the one that's looking back and going, hey, you know what, guys? The more we run shotgun, the more we win this game. I mean, I know it's not that easy, but it feels like it kind of is, though.
Well, what blows my mind is like, again, we talk about, and Matt talks about, every football coach talks about putting your guys in a position to succeed, right? How in the world of fuck is it a good thing? How are you putting A.J. Dillon in a position to succeed in the shotgun running zone? Like, I don't understand how that's the desire. Like, that's what we drew up. That just blow. Get your man under center. By your man, I mean your quarterback. Have him hand off to the dude, the big bruiser, from behind. And hey, after a while, you can work play action off of that. You can like this. I don't understand why they.
But that's the other thing. Like the Titans
making it tougher on themselves.
The Titans used I form. Like it
oh,
was like a
match.
I mean, everybody's
imagine
like,
that.
Oh, RPO, all this stuff. It's like, bro, there's still teams using I-form to their advantage, and the Titans used it. They didn't use it a lot. They probably did 8 to 10 I-formations, but they did so much out of I-form. So much. It was incredible.
Now, oh, you mean they played to the base strengths of their personnel? Fucking unbelievable. Who would have thunk it? Crazy concept. I don't know, man. I just don't know. You know, and then another simple thing. Can we get Samori Toure some more playing time? Can we get this kid on the field a little bit more? And can we stop wasting reps with Sammy Watkins? I understand Sammy's the vet, blah, blah, blah. But he is so just dead-legged at this point. There's no explosion. There's nothing there. Get the kid on the field. Especially now the season's fucking over. I mean, the season's over. So get the kid on the field.
I mean, if they beat Philadelphia, it's not over.
Banky.
Nagler. If they beat Philadelphia, it's not over. Philly's a good team, and that changes the dynamic of the NFL, and it could be a turning point.
I'm going to forget you said that.
Okay.
I'm living here in
when
reality.
We beat Philadelphia.
There it is. All right.
When we beat Philadelphia, I can't wait until the end of that game because I'm going to be being like, okay, let's look at the playoff scenarios. And now that we beat Philadelphia, all right, here we go. Wild card, baby. And then, you know what? Here's the thing. What's one of the best non-Super Bowl seasons that you and I have ever experienced, right? I would venture to say that the year that we pushed the Vikings out of the playoffs and we went to the playoffs with Nate Poole scoring that touchdown against the Vikings for the Arizona Cardinals and getting and Amon Green having 86 yards. That was an incredible season. And
how was that game?
We did diddly squat. Like we went nowhere, and we will remember that season for the rest of our lives. So you know what? That's what I'm trying to get right now. If we beat Philadelphia,
all right. I'm not going to go there because I don't think this is like anywhere close to a playoff team. But I will say this. I do remember that year, I think it was with Lindy Infante as coach, when they beat the Vikings in like week 16. And they missed the playoffs, but they had won 10 games. And everyone, it felt like a playoff for us. Like, it felt like we had done something. Like, it was like, holy shit. Like, we're headed in the right direction, you know? I just care about how they like play somewhat like and look down the stretch, but ultimately they've beaten the Bears once, right? They got embarrassed by the Vikings in week one. Yep. They still play the Vikings at home. They play the Bears again. They've already beaten the Cowboys. Yep. So you've beaten the Cowboys, you've beaten the Bears, beat the Bears again, beat the Vikings, successful season.
Beat Philly.
No, forget. I don't even care about Philly. I don't care. But you beat the Bears again. You beat the Vikings. You've already beat the Cowboys. Successful season.
Okay, I know this is a Thanksgiving show, and I have thanks, but I'm just telling you right now, if the Packers find a way by winning this weekend, and they find a way to get in these goddamn playoffs, you still could be looking at a 2010 situation. I'm sorry, but... All we got to do is get hot at the right time. Look, that's what 2010 proved. 2010, and I watched this game. I've been watching games. I actually been watching other NFL games this week, which is a rarity for me, okay?
Very rare.
And you look around the NFL, and there's a lot of parity in this league, bro.
I hear you. Almost than there's ever been
at any sense. Like, the number one team and the number 32 team are very close on a lot of things. A lot of things. All right. And all it takes is a couple injuries. you know, for Philly and for
so if 49ers, they get hurt, we got a chance. All
right, but they're going to. It's the NFL, which is why it's when you get hot, right?
I know. I hear you. I hear you.
This team, I mean, dude, 2010, this team, everybody counted us out in 2010. Every single person. And what's different? We still have a lot of those pieces. Aaron Rodgers, number one. We got Aaron Rodgers. All he's got to do is get hot for a sustained amount of time and not suck so bad. Okay, well, that's possible.
Not throw the ball to a blade of grass rather than his
wide receiver. If he could not have two interceptions in the end zone, then that would really help us a lot. That would really help us.
Here's the thing, Corey. I come to Wisconsin. You know, I'm in your home. And you have obviously partaken of some drug that I am not not aware of. So just puff, puff, give. You know, that's you got to share the wealth. That's all I'm saying, man.
Look,
that's,
when this team – here's nice. The thing. Okay, all I want to say is when we get in the fucking playoffs this season – Tyler Herrick better fucking clip this shit, okay?
All right.
Because,
all right.
God
Tyler
damn it,
Herrick
these
ain't
Packers...
watching this show. Tyler Herrick's mailing it in just like the team.
Okay,
come
that's
on now.
That's fine, but I'm not mailing it in yet, Nagler. And I'm telling you right now, we are really into the midseason right now, right? We're in
right,
the middle.
Right. Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So, this could be the bad half of the season. I just want to put that out there.
You mean the half that just happened?
Yeah.
That was the bad half? So the good half is coming up. All right. Yep. I got you. Hey, I like how you took the game day, like that was the bad half, good half, and like just expanded it to the entirety of the season.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's like okay, that was the bad half of the season. If you think, here's what's crazy. If you actually believe that was the bad half of the season, and then it turned, I mean,
then everything's good. Well, here's the problem, though. Now, here's, like, where it gets rough is, say they do turn it on, right? Like, say they win Sunday, and we all get excited, and then they beat the Bears, and we're all good, and we're, like, having a good time.
Oh, man.
They get on a run, and they're like, oh, my God, they could do it. And then they fucking miss the playoffs because they fucked around against the Washingtons of the world and the Jets of the world, and we sit there at the end of the year not in the fucking playoffs. Because everything they should have been doing the first half of the year didn't happen until the second half.
Okay, but what about this? What's worse? What is that worse than getting to the NFC Championship and losing?
That's a fair point. That's a very fair point.
I mean,
you know, Corey, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. That's not a bad point. I'll take it. We're getting excited.
Like the funny thing is. Like, the funny thing is that, like, I don't know what I want more because it's like I've never been the guy that wants us to tank to get the draft picks.
Oh, no. No, I know. I'm not.
I just don't want that, but it's
here's
like.
Here's what's horrible, Corey. Here's what's horrible. You know how for years, I mean for years, and probably still present day, we have talked about just give me competence on special teams, right? Just put your hand up and catch the fucking ball. I don't need a big return. Like, I don't just, like, kick it to the end zone. I don't need, like, I'm not asking for a lot. Just competence. I'm there now with the entirety of the team. Like, I just want an offense that can, like, fucking work. I just want a defense that can get off the field on third down. I just want competence. Like, this second half of the season, I don't have any great expectations, but I do want a team that looks like it fucking cares. That's what I want.
But
I mean, I don't think that's a lot to ask.
I mean, it's not a lot to ask, but at the end of the day, like, the way the feedback loop works, it's not looking good, right? Because it's the way the negative feedback loop works.
That's fair.
You don't keep wanting to be there when you lose, you know? And everything kind of breaks down, you know?
Yes. Yeah. But at the same time, I can't blame people who are like my father, holy cow, talk about being back home. My dad is in full on, I mean full blown. And this is Mr. Lotta Ball Game Left himself. That's where I learned it from. He is like, tank for draft picks. He's like, he's out. He is done with this team. He's like, they don't care, so I don't care. That's what he said.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, what's crazy is, so, you know, historically, if you look last year, right? I would say Packers hardcore fandom, okay? So I'm not saying all fans, but if you take diehard fans, right? People that watch this show, people that watch daily, people that not maybe they only like Cheesehead TV, they just are like rabid Green Bay Press Gazette, whatever it is, right?
Right.
I would say that Packer hardcore fandom was, I feel like it was 60-40 for trading Rodgers last year at the end of the year, right? As far as like, hey, I'm done with Rodgers, let's go.
It was leaning, I would say more like 51-40.
Yeah. It's a majority, though. A majority, right?
I agree.
Just over a majority, probably, right? As far as hardcore fandom, and I might be wrong, and I know a lot of people are going to say, Corey, you don't like Rodgers, which is 100% not true, so go fuck yourself if you think I think that.
It's just bullshit.
So, now, though, if we go out, so if we don't make the playoffs, you got to imagine that number is increasing to 60 to 70%. I've already seen some polling in Twitter, which is imperfect, but like people are asking those kind of questions already, right? When you have Lil Wayne who's like blaming Rodgers 1 week and then the next week,
Lil
I mean, that's like an indictment right there. So it's like, okay, so here's the thing, right? What is going to happen to this fan base when they realize that, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs? We're not going to play Jordan Love at any point this year.
Right.
And we're bringing Rodgers back, and we're just doing everything the same as we did before.
Oh, boy. It's going to be fun.
Like, what happens then? What happens then? Because that's where we're going right now.
Yeah, that is exactly where it's headed. It's so funny you mentioned that. We're going to get to that a little bit in the blogosphere, but yes, that's exactly where we're headed. That is 1,000,000,000% where this is headed. Thanks for that. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's talk about the defense real quick because we're already like half hour through. You remember what you were saying about a short show? The Packers have something in Quay Walker, people. Like, I love this kid. I love this guy. I love how he flies to the football. I love his athleticism. I know early in the year he was kind of lost in the wash at times against the run. It's been fascinating to watch him kind of come to the fore with Dre sidelined. I can't wait to see how they utilize both of them on the field. They had him out on the edge a couple times against Tennessee. His versatility, his athleticism, I love this kid.
Well, it was exactly what we said. We were like, with Rashawn out, it's like they
got
to
get
come
him out
up
there.
With
yep.
Somehow 100%. We got to generate some pass rush, which I do find interesting that Joe Barry is finally getting creative. It's a little too late, but.
Yeah, right. So, surprise, surprise. You know, on the flip side, I don't like to go in on guys, man. I don't – like, I get the NFL is tough, right? And this is the top of the best, and everyone in the NFL is amazing at the game of football, right? Like, it's like Mike McCarthy said. These are – you don't get on a 53-man roster by being just a guy. But, of course, when you are – you have draft pedigree. You are of a certain ilk. You have expectations. And right now, Darnell Savage, man, you talk about a continual weak link. This is your former first-round pick who you just picked up the fifth-year option for, who is almost always, I'm not saying every time, but almost always a root of the problem when it comes to, like, blown coverages, miscommunications.
Tackling.
Hell, you got a tackling. You got a defensive pass interference call this past week. I mean, every time. You could almost set your watch by it. It's hard to watch, and I don't know what they're going to do in regards to the fact that they did just pick up his fifth-year option, so they got to bring him back, I guess. But, man, every time there is some kind of breakdown, Darnell Savage is in the zip code.
Yep. Right?
And that is just a big, big problem. I mean, I get that maybe benching him outright is a drastic measure, but I think they're approaching that point. How could they not be? I don't know. It's just, it's so frustrating to see, again, a guy making mistakes again and again and again, but they keep throwing him out there. It's what Rodgers was talking about earlier in the year. If you're making continual mistakes, maybe someone else should be given more playing time. And we saw Ford get on the field against the Cowboys, and we saw him out there a little bit more against the Titans, but, man, I don't know if Savage should be out there at this point. That's how bad it is.
But then who do you put there?
Well, Abernathy, who they got off the practice squad. Let's go. I'm telling you, though, I mean, at least that guy's going to fly around a million miles an hour, and if he makes a mistake, he'll hit somebody. Like, that dude will feel it at least, you know, whereas, you know, Savage will throw a shoulder and maybe not make a tackle, maybe not, I don't know. Like, I don't know, dude.
It's, I mean, there's got to be.
Point,
the
it's
funny,
hard.
The,
it's hard to
the
watch.
Interesting thing about Savage is it's just not Savage. It's the. It's
oh,
the,
no. But that's my thing.
It's the linebacker and safety play in the middle that's the most disconcerting.
It's always
a
combination.
Because the thing is,
no doubt.
The thing is, like, if we were able to, like most defensive teams, actually cover the middle of the field once in a while, it wouldn't exacerbate the problem so much, right? It's like, Savage misses tackles on the outside, or he uses an elbow or a shoulder here to make a tackle, and Adrian Amos is doing some of that this last week, right? He had a bad – I mean, you know, you're going against Derrick Henry, so I mean, if I went against Derrick Henry, I would be a flat pancake, like, the first time he ran me over.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Like,
correct.
Far be it for me, but at the same time, that's what you're paid to do, right? So it's like
– you're an NFL football player, yeah. Exactly.
Our secondary safety play is definitely suspect this year, and it's definitely
hard. It's hard,
but how much of it is scheming and leadership and like what we're trying to or not trying to do? Because I don't know, we've just been a team that historically has always been left the middle of the field completely fucking wide open.
Here's the thing, it's funny you say that, because you remember on the third down. The big third down to open the game, the Titans hit over the top, Burks over Nixon, right? Matt specifically mentions in his presser the next day, oh, we have a safety coming down and cutting off the middle when he should be over the top. That's a mental mistake.
Yeah.
All right? And then he also mentions the stack formation in the second half where both guys take the guy inward on the post and leave. You know, I think it was the tight end wide open over the right. He gets a 30-yard gain, etc. Both of those plays involve Savage. And I know for a fact that first one is about Savage dropping down when he shouldn't be. So this is my point. Like, yes, it is complicated. And there are many levels from the call, from the guys he's playing with, to, like, whatever the adjustments are, pre-snap, post-snap, reading the route combinations. I understand there's a lot of levels. But goddamn, he's always involved.
Yeah.
Almost always.
It's true.
He's right there. It's just tough at this point. And then the other thing, talking about the secondary, Joe Barry has followed in the footsteps of Mike Pettine in the sense just not allowing his defensive backs to compete. Just let them compete.
I don't understand. You got fucking
Jair Alexander. Let them go down swinging.
Something, yeah. Like, you got Jair Alexander, and you're not playing
begging
press
you from my
80%
soul.
Of the time. It makes no sense.
It's third and three, and your dudes are playing 10 yards off.
Well,
or
the
8 yards
it,
if we're being fucking generous.
The reason it doesn't make sense is that mathematically and probability-wise, it's like, are you even looking at your own data sets? Like, are you even looking at, like, anything. Like, everybody talks about the new coaching in the NFL is like, I'm looking at my probabilities and
analytics,
my data sets and
analytics,
right? Who the fuck is teaching Joe Barry how to look at analytics? Because last time I checked, like, every time he puts Jair in press, Jair wins. So if he wins nine out of 10 times, I mean, what are we doing here? And I know not everybody should press, but even if you just pick a couple guys to press, hey, we're going to press one and two, or we're going to press two and three, or we're going to press whatever.
Or just situationally. Like, it's like how many times did
it look like
fucking 7-on-7 in that game?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like 7-on-7, like free releases, no problem at the line of scrimmage, just do whatever you want, and then you turn around. And here's where it really gets drawn into sharp relief for me. You turn it around. At one point in that game, the Packers go spread, and they get Lazard up the right sideline. Rodgers throws in the ball, and it's like a first down, and it's a big gain, but there's a dude right there, and they have to work for it. And it takes a perfect pass and a great catch. Because Tennessee allowed their defensive backs to compete. And you'll live with it. If the fucking $50 million quarterback throws a pass to the wide receiver and that guy catches it, you're like, you know what? Tip of the cap. You guys won that round. Awesome. But what I can't abide is when it's 3rd and 7, you play 10 yards off, guy goes, literally runs to the sticks, takes a left,
turns around
at Albuquerque, and just, it's like an easy completion. And somebody talked to me earlier this week about, well, you know, the pass rush is probably suspect because Rashawn Gary's not there. Wouldn't matter if you have Lawrence Taylor out there. If the quarterback is allowed to play in rhythm, you're literally letting this dude hit the top of his drop, go to his exact very first read, and throw the football on time, in rhythm. That's on Joe Barry. I understand that there are many levels to it, a lot of things going on overall with the defense. But in this regard, how does Matt allow that to happen? Matt LaFleur fucking came in front of the media 2 years ago after the Colts game and said, like, unprompted, I really was disappointed. We got to play more physical at the line of scrimmage. I want us to be more challenging on third down. Now, here we are 2 years later, and it's the same shit with a different coordinator. Like, what are we doing? I don't know, man. Thanks for letting me get that off my chest, because it's been bugging the shit out of me.
It's really annoying.
It's so annoying.
The only time that we play press is when the players complain, and then it's one
of
those things where
exactly!
The players complain, so we get 1.5 halves. So we
it
get 3 halves
Petten?
Of football.
And now it's happened under Barry, although it happened with Barry a couple weeks ago, and now we're back to like, oh, we'll play 10 yards.
Oh, we're
off.
Back. Yeah. We forgot about the complaint situation.
Let's take a look at this game on Sunday night, because we have to.
The game we're winning? The game we're winning?
That one? Yeah, that would be great. Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, two new faces in Philadelphia, but one of them, well, both of them really, very familiar to Packers fans. They have helped the Eagles' run defense in their 1 week on the job so far. They did a yeoman's work there in Indianapolis. Really ugly game. I will say, though, to your point, the Eagles have looked mortal the last couple weeks. They definitely look mortal in Indy, and they look mortal losing to Washington. So,
Ndamukong Suh, more than any other player, is trash. Okay? Let's just be real. Okay? He literally is a trash player. He plays bad. He is a bad player. He's a good player, but he is a bad dude
on the field.
He steps on people's necks. He does things that like other players don't do. He's a wannabe Ray Nitschke type player without Ray Nitschke's talent.
That's a bold call. I will say he's the kind of guy I wish we had a few more of. He's a guy who's going to fucking play to the echo of the whistle and maybe, do some nasty shit. But I want that on my defense, especially up front. I think the Packers could use a little bit of that. But I think, and I also think he's a good dude.
He goes over. But I agree with you, but he goes over the line more than I would want.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, I totally agree with you there.
He's
but,
a dirty player.
See, I don't know. Yeah,
he's done
dirty
things to the Packers, bro. He's
no doubt.
Done some
no
dirty
doubt.
Playing.
No doubt.
Access.
No question.
When he was a Lion, oh my God.
But so did,
I can't stand that dude.
But so did Clay Matthews when he was a Packer. You know, he hit fucking Kaepernick way out of bounds. He hit Russell Wilson in the head. You know, it's like when they're yours, you're like, you're fine with it. You know, it's
and Ndamukong Suh is way dirtier than Clay Matthews. Okay, let's just if Clay Matthews is on the dirty scale, let's say Clay Matthews is a 5, and Ndamukong Suh is a 15, bro. Come on, let's be real.
That's
he literally
true.
Steps on people's heads and necks and
I know, bro. And I'm saying if
that's
he's yours,
dirty, that's he's not just like colors. Pushing somebody out of bounds. Also, Russell Wilson, come on.
And if he's really good, and if he's really good, you don't give a shit if he's playing for your team. That's my point.
I guess.
That's my point.
I don't like him either. He's not playing. He's not playing for my team, and I don't like him, Nagler.
Correct. Yes, all of these are correct.
As a matter of fact, I would go. I'm almost to where the H is, the 8, but I'm not quite there because I don't hate him.
Not quite there. Yeah, exactly. No, not even close. But their run defense has been problematic, so hopefully the Packers lean into it, and Aaron Jones gets going. I'm not holding my breath. The other thing is Darius Slay is their premier corner. Used to love watching him go up against Devontae Adams back in the day when he was with Detroit, and now we'll probably get to see him go against Christian Watson. And I tell you what, I think there's no doubt. There's no doubt that Slay will have something for him. But I also think Watson will get some this week. Maybe against Slay, but overall, I think he's gonna get some. It's going to be fun. And then expect the Eagles to create a lot of confusion in the Packers' secondary. Here's what's fucked up. So the Packers have all these communication issues in week one, right? And you're like, with the Packers, kind of expected. They'll get it figured out. And then you go to fucking week 11, there's communication issues, nothing's changed, it's kind of the same. That's Tennessee, who have like a moribund passing game coming into that Thursday nighter. Philly, this team, they're going to make their heads spin. The motion, the route combinations, the quarterback running, the design runs for the quarterback, this Packers defense is going to be it's not going to be fun. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it in any way, shape, or form. You got anything else, Corey, before we head into the next section?
We're going to beat Philadelphia.
All right, let's go, Nicholas.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When the season goes off the rails, much like the Green Bay Packers 2022 season has, it's easy as a content creator to just, like, mail it in, to lose all hope and interest and just, like, look for, if you are interested in other sports, I'll just kind of start talking about the Bucks, you know. But the diehards... The people who really live and breathe the Packers, they don't do that. They give you the good shit day after day, week after week. And one of the people who always makes sure to bring you the good shit is Justice Mosqueda over at Acme Packing Company. Look at this. There's no Packers football this Sunday. This is from last week, obviously. But so here's a cut-up of Kingsley Enagbare looking way better than a fifth-round rookie should. And now... for those of you listening later who can't see this, there's a cut-up of several plays of Enagbare just owning people and making plays. It's phenomenal to watch. We're only showing three here. It's legit, though. If you go and watch Justice, if you find that tweet from Justice, there's like 20 plays. It's great. Justice, shout out to you for grinding the tape and doing the good shit, man, because God knows the Packers blogosphere needs it in the worst way.
I mean, the funny thing about these times is, one, you really realize who the bandwagons are, right?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
The second thing, though, that you learn is you try to, like, I like other sports. So, like, UWGB women's basketball. I like watching
World Cup for me,
baby.
Let's go.
World Cup. Yeah. But no matter what it is, what's really funny is you realize that, like, that hole is way bigger than whatever the other sport is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my Lord.
Like, the hole is so much bigger than the Packers.
Yeah.
Like, the Packers Packers own a hole in my body or in my heart that's, like, way bigger than any sports team in the world could ever fill, even, like, multiple ones of them. So it's fun, yep. And you know what? It did help You know, last weekend when we beat the Dallas Cowboys, I was already in a good mood because UWGB women won their first game, and now they've won a second game, and now they're 2-1, and now they're in Florida. So, you know, getting those extra wins, it does make the hole a little bit more full, but not quite. Right. It doesn't fill it up.
No, not even close. Not even close. The other thing I saw this week, Corey, and I know you're going to love this. I mean, here we go again. Here we go. Remember last offseason when it was all, oh, what is he going to do? What is he going to be? And everyone was like, oh, he's Aaron Rodgers signed an extension. It's all over. And then I said, it's a year-to-year thing. And then Aaron Rodgers himself says, yeah, it's probably a year-to-year thing. And then Mark Murphy said, yeah, it's a year-to-year thing. Well, guess what? It's a year-to-year thing because here we go again. Aaron Rodgers trade rumors, and I have not even listed who put this up. I'm not giving them the clickbait. I don't care. But here it is, people. We are the night before Thanksgiving where we've entered Rodgers' watch. Rodgers' watch has begun.
I mean, you got to imagine that the 49ers and the Jets, he'd probably go to both of those teams. You look at their Jets are right now. They're in a Sala is a really great coach. They got a lot of really great people. They're really
they're running the system.
They're right on
LaFleur's,
the cusp.
LaFleur's brother is the
and
the
49ers, like, for him, that's his childhood team. Like, that's, you know, that's.
But this is my point. Here we go. Now we got another 6 months of this. Like, where is he? And look, I do not for a moment think he's going to be traded. I think, as you intimated earlier in the show, we are on a path where they're going to bring him back, and we're going to do this all again, and everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, here we go again at the start of the next season, right? But the media will use this as catnip. They will use it as clickbait, and everyone's going to lean into it. We're going to see so many photoshopped Rodgers in different jerseys.
Yeah.
That tsunami is coming.
I do think there is a very small chance that a team is really going to make a push for him and really package it up in a way that he can't resist. I do think that, right? Because if you look, there's probably two or three teams in the NFL with a cap space, with the right, with what he needs. You know, it's all about packaging it and putting it together for him that makes a lot of sense. And I could see it happening.
I just think if it was going to happen, it was going to happen last year. I can't imagine it happening this offseason. But you never know. You never know. Let's get to some YouTube comments, shall we? Some fine folks there on the YouTubes talking stuff to us.
So we got Tyler Rocamp. Thanks for Super Chat. Corey may need to change his stance on Jim Leonard after Badgers ran a QB sneak from the 2 to win it. Thankful for Chiefs TV. Also, props to Nagler as an early Twitter follow a decade ago. Hope it survives.
Thanks, buddy.
Tyler, Jim Leonard is a terrorist, so fuck that guy. John Simatovich. Also, I'm so unhappy that the Badgers had no business beating Nebraska. Okay, let's be real. Okay? Like, I was so excited about that game.
I love when you have college football opinions. It's so great.
The Badgers are trash. I hate them. And you know what? It's probably my most controversial opinion, honestly. I used to be that the gold package needs to leave, and I still believe in that. But, like, I can't tell you. It's the dumbest position for me as one of the co-founders of Cheesehead TV
to hate the Badgers.
The Badgers. Yeah. But I fucking hate them so much. I refuse to call them the University of Wisconsin. They are the University of Madison because technically they are. They are not they're University of Wisconsin-Madison. Let's fucking keep it real, okay?
Correct.
And you know what? I'm here. I'm here in Green Bay, and I'm not going to stand. I'm going to choose violence when it comes to Madison and Milwaukee. I'm sorry.
I love it so much. And Godspeed, brother.
You know, UW-Madison,
solidarity in
yourself.
Your fight.
And Jim Leonard, you know what? You're an asshole because Matt LaFleur called you up. The greatest team in the fucking world called you to the bat, and they said, hey, Jim, you want to play for us? And you said no. So you know what? Fuck you. You're a terrorist. All right. Dave Blaster. Corey, do you ever recall seeing the Big Cheese Bus? It's out of commission now, but used to be used by a tailgate icon by Lambeau. I do remember the Big Cheese Bus. I do remember it. I remember it fondly, just like the Packers ambulance. Ryan Willie, thanks for Super Chat. I'm 95% sure Rodgers will retire after the season. If you talk about retirement, you're basically retired. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Ryan, thanks for all the Super Chats. Thanks for supporting Cheesehead TV.
Thanks, Ryan.
Appreciate ya.
I don't know if I agree with that. I'd put it at like 60%. I think there's a chance he retires, but I'll be surprised. I'll be surprised if he retires.
I would be very surprised. Overshadow Sean, do we even know what Matt's offense looks like? The 12 version is just a tweaked Big Mike offense. More importantly, happy Thanksgiving and Pappies. Thank you, Overshadow.
Thanks,
appreciate
Overshadow.
Your support.
I think the closest we've got to seeing it was 2020. That was like as close as we got.
I don't. I'm not gonna read this. Uncultured Barbarian, thanks to Super Chat. I don't know what Banky is smoking, but I wish he'd share. Happy Thanksgiving. Playoffs? You kidding me? Don't talk about playoffs. I just want to win.
Playoffs.
A game.
Look,
the playoffs are still in play, people. Okay, let's be real. Just like pre-camp doesn't exist anymore, technically the playoffs are still in play. So I'm gonna just live in a fantasy world. I'm gonna go to Chives tonight, and I'm gonna dream about the Packers getting the playoffs. Overshadow cool. Sean, thanks for the Super Chat. The idea of firing Barry doesn't land with me because I know they will just hire another dude that calls Powder Puff BS like the last 9 DCs.
I mean, you ain't wrong. You ain't wrong. I can't. I have nothing. I have no
I
counter.
I don't really
to
have
that.
Any. Yeah, I don't have any.
I have no counter.
Say.
How could you, as a Packers fan, sit here in the year of our Lord 2022 and go, nope, the next dude will get it?
Yeah, the next dude. The next dude will be just like
the last dude.
I was trying to remember who was the guy from Denver we had, the coach. Remember when he came?
Jim Bates. Remember Jim Bates?
Yeah, I remember Jim Bates. Who was what's his name we had? Not Denver. Who the hell was he? He was like our he was our coordinator forever. He almost became our coach. And we did Packer Fan Fest. Remember Packer Fan Fest?
Dom Capers?
Dom Capers. Yeah.
Love me some Dom Capers. I love Dom. Hey, man, they won a Super Bowl.
I remember
they
how
won
excited.
A Super Bowl with Dom.
I remember how. You know what? You know who would. You know who would actually really be cussing at the TV a lot from our lack of press coverage?
Who's that?
Fritz fucking Shermer. He would be so annoyed by the dude. Packers' lack of press coverage. Like,
dude,
bro,
Fritz
that
Shermer.
Guy pressed more than anybody. He didn't care. He
Craig
was like,
Newsom
Craig
was like,
Newsom.
What's
Craig
up?
Newsom.
What's
like,
up?
He was a press machine. Oh, man. Fritz Shermer. Man,
Fritz Shermer
I
would be annoyed by
at,
so many aspects of
so
all
many
of
things.
The Packers' defense.
If you look back at the mid-90s and, like, if you look how – he'd probably be – rolling in his grave just looking at the how much room we're giving people. It's crazy. He Soder, tonight is the third drunkest night of the year. Wait, why?
This is the night before Thanksgiving. Yeah.
What you drinking tonight? I'm going with Mexican Mules as I can't get Carry the G. The alcohol helps numb the pain of the season. Go, Pack, go.
I've got Carry the G.
He's got Carry the G.
Shout out to our friends at New Glarus. I'm in Wisconsin. I got to get myself some Spotted Cow. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. I literally told him, I'm like, the only way I can get rid of beers in my refrigerator is to not have Spotted Cow in the refrigerator. And then he's like, oh, okay, well, I'll have a beer of destiny. And I'm like, bro, have that cherry wheat and close a brother out. Like, just close it out.
No.
And he's like, no, hell no, I can't have that. And I'm like, bro, I'm trying to close out a line of beer in there. Just help me out.
Dude, I just pour it in the sink, dude. No one's ever drinking fucking cherry
They're
wheat.
They're drinking it. They're drinking it. Come on.
Not this guy. Hell no.
Drinking it.
And hey, to be fair, I did down one of your beers that needed to get rid of, and it wasn't very good.
I didn't need
to get rid of it. Bodo, there's a reason it's still there.
I didn't need to get rid of that one, and no, you didn't help me. So
you should get rid of it because it's bad.
Thanks, Coach. I agree. No, Mark Rogers taking way too much money hurt the team. He should have took a pay cut to help support getting the players that he needs at work.
Okay,
for
I got
Tom Brady.
Okay, wait, whoa. So I hear this a lot, right? I get
Thanks
this in my
Super
Twitter
Chat,
feed a lot.
By the way.
Thank you. However, he did lower his cap hit. Like, everyone kind of brushes over that. Like, I get he's being paid $50 million, blah, blah, blah. And, like, yes, he's being paid a lot of money, but he did lower his cap hit significantly from what it was going to be entering 2022. You know, he gave the Packers a lot of room, a lot of maneuverability to go and do some things. So this idea that, like, oh, Rodgers just made it impossible for them to do anything is just – that's a little erroneous. Let's just keep it real.
Okay, too old for this. Thanks for Super Chat. No matter how low the season could possibly get, we still aren't as bad as the Bears. Aren't the Bears better than us right now?
We're skirting with it, though. That's the problem. No, they're not.
Like, here's the crazy thing. We live in the multiverse where Justin Fields is good. That's weird to me.
I've been saying that kid is good. And I said it on Twitter. I said it to my friends who cover the Bears. And the kid's got skill. The thing is they're finally leaning into his ability to run, which is smart. He's still kind of a bit rudimentary when it comes to the passing game. But he's getting better. And here's the thing. The Packers, if they had turned the page like they probably should have, they'd have Jordan Love on the field this year, developing and getting better. But they didn't want to do that. So now they get to watch Chicago, and their fucking offense get better, and their young quarterback get better. Better hurry up, Green Bay. Shit ain't getting any later. Let's go.
I missed, so according to my producer, I missed, is it in the, wait. Oh, John Simatovich, sorry, I missed your super chat. Currently upstairs napping to get away from the in-laws. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thanks for all you guys do for Packers fans worldwide. Go, Pack, go. Thank you, John. Sorry, I missed
your
super chat.
John, that might be my favorite super chat of all time.
That was a good one.
That's why we're here. That is why we are here, to help you get away from the in-laws. Well done.
I thought you were here to drink the beers I need you to drink. I thought that's why you were here.
Well, that as well. That as well. Okay. But that's why I'm here in this house.
Oh,
why
gotcha.
We are here as an entity is to help people escape their in-laws Thanksgiving Eve. That's what we do.
Got it.
That's why we go. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members, shall we? Because they are really the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV. It all began back in the throes of the pandemic. It has grown into a real tight-knit community. It's crazy, man. The Patreon member happy hour, which began as just Patreon members, but now is also expanded into Care of the G Club members, is awesome. And Care of the G Club members, look, you guys are awesome here on YouTube. And either faction, I hope to see you guys when we have our meetup, Cheesehead TV meetup here in Green Bay the night before the Rams game. The Rams game, remember, is on a Monday night. That Sunday, we'll be having a meetup here in Green Bay. The information is on the Patreon page. It'll be on the community page on YouTube for Care of the G Club members. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. We can't thank you guys enough for all the support, because it really means the world to us. If you even make Cheesehead TV, like, even a small part of what you do as far as consuming Packers content day in and day out, because that's what we know. We know you guys all do it. There are a million places for you to go, and that you utilize Cheesehead TV at all is amazing.
Here's
Bank,
the thing,
you got anything
though.
Else? Yeah,
I do have something else, okay?
Right.
The Packers are the state of Wisconsin, Mark.
Okay. So you let someone trigger you in the comments, really?
The Packers?
Really?
Here are the Packers, okay? They're up here, okay? So up here, okay.
Right.
Every other team in Wisconsin, not in this thing, not even in here. They're not even at one. They're at zero. They're at 0.01. Every team. The Bucks. You know why? Green Bay Packers, 14 world championships. Yeah, I said it. 13 in a contested, okay? 13 in a contested. Who's close? No one. Zero people in the world. Zero. Zero in the world, okay? So you want to talk about the state of Wisconsin? The state of Wisconsin is the Green Bay Packers. There is only one team. One team, Green Bay Packers. Everybody else, trash. I love them. I love them. I love them. I love the Milwaukee Bucks. Okay? Love the Milwaukee Brewers. Don't love the Madison Badgers, but I do love the UWGB Phoenix. Okay? But they're still trash, okay, compared to the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers, gold, silver, all the things. All
Platinum.
The things. Platinum, all the rare earth science metals, everything. They're everything. Okay? Everybody else, piece of trash. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not doing this. I'm not alienating. The Packers alienate themselves because they stand alone among no one. They have no peers in the state of Wisconsin, okay? So let's fucking not get that twisted for 2 seconds.
I love Soder throwing in Admirals. Yeah, shout out to the Admirals, by the way. Because I know 97.3 The Game, they do their broadcast. So, yeah, we're big Admirals.
There's only one team in the state of Wisconsin. Don't ever fucking get that twisted. People that get that twisted, they get on my left nerve. And then my right nerve goes, hey, what's going on? Are they getting it twisted again?
See, now you got me looking at the chat. I could have sworn that the Bucks won the NBA title a few years ago. Yeah, they did. And it only took them 50 fucking years to do it. Well done. Well
done,
job. Indeed.
I love the Bucks. I love watching them. I love watching them more than the Packers right now, but get the fuck out of here with that.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
And I think there may be a misnomer among yourselves and the others at Cheesehead TV. Is that right?
That is correct.
That maybe if a 2nd and 10 is called and it's a run pass, and I'm going to choose to pass out of spite for the.
Not spite. I didn't say spite. Come on now.
Okay.